it's corn. So, what's in your toolbox? Think about this. You have a workshop. Is there any woodworkers here or anyone who has any kind of shop? Okay. You have a shop, fully equipped, high-end stuff, some of the best stuff. But you never received any type of instructions on how to use the tools. Now, you could produce something done, but you're not going to give your best work, are you? So, you know, when we think of one-on-one discipleship, think of it like a shop teacher for life. This is someone who's going to walk alongside you so you're able to do your best work. This is what we are talking about here. Okay? Difference maker for life. Compelling question. What am I doing today that will be an influence for Jesus Christ in the next generation? Have we ever think about that? Have we ever reflected on that? What we are going to do? What is our role? Let me ask a question. What is your definition of a mentor?
Someone
who walks alongside you.
Imparts knowledge and wisdom.
Imparts knowledge, wisdom. Anyone
guides,
else?
Guides.
Someone who guides.
Shares experiences.
Shares experiences, encourages.
Listeners. Yes.
Listening.
Listening. Very important. Okay? Greg Ogden defines it as an intentional relationship in which we walk alongside other disciples in order to encourage, equip, challenge one another in love to grow towards maturity in Christ. This includes equipping the disciple to teach others as well. See, this is one of the things when we look at someone like Paul, okay, or, you know, what did he do? If it wasn't just one person, he worked with, say, Timothy until he was ready, then allowed him to move on and encouraged him to share. So this is what it's about too. Chuck Lawless, mentoring is about relationship. It's a God-given relationship in which one growing Christian encourages and equips another believer to reach his or her potential. You've heard, some of you have heard of this outstanding theologian, Andy Rooney, said that mentoring was hanging out with someone a little older, a little smarter than me. You know? Joel Rosenberg, an older, wiser believer, takes us under their wings and teaches us how to follow Christ, regardless of the challenges, the obstacles, and the oppositions that lie ahead. Then through time and trial and error and God's grace, we too become older and wiser believers who can model the life and ministry of Jesus Christ for those who are younger than we are. What we're talking about, some people call it discipling, mentoring, alongsider. That is a term you will hear a lot, alongsider. Because see, what happens is, and one of the things that sort of makes some people apprehensive about mentoring is because too often we think of mentoring as, you know, the mentor knows it all. You know, he's the great wise one, you know, and the mentee, you know, he's raising that mentee up to his level. No, in many cases, it's walking alongside. That's what it's about. I've been mentoring different men for quite a while, and I know one young guy that we've been together for a while, and I spend more time saying to him, well, when I was in that situation, I handled it this way, and I fell flat on my face. You know, it was a mistake. So we know it doesn't work. So let's put our heads together and come up with something that does work. You know, you don't always have to be the one who knows it all. Okay? We here define it as a mentor is a man who is successfully navigating the seasons and experiences of a life. He is a man who is developing in faith and consistent in godly conduct. He is willing to listen, pray for, share skills, and provide positive perspective for life experiences in a casual, fun atmosphere. He provides biblical wisdom and offers spiritually sound advice in a safe environment or in a safe friendship for the mentee. For those who are trying to fill in the blanks. Sorry.
Yeah, I missed the other one. Can we get these notes anywhere?
They're all in there.
Yeah, I'll print
them. All the slides are here.
Yeah, they should be in the slides.
Okay,
yeah.
They are there. Okay.
So, but that's what we're talking about. Look at some of the key words. Listen.
Yes, very important.
Positive. Biblical wisdom. Safe. That's what we're talking about. A safe environment. See, the thing with mentoring is, mentoring can change history. Mentoring can, you know, change the path. One of the things that got me involved here in mentoring is several years ago, I was sitting upstairs, you know, those chairs upstairs, you know, nice comfortable chairs, and I was sitting there talking to a man, and he was talking to me about his son, who was 13 years old. He and his wife had been married for 15 years. And he was talking about his son, and he was really frustrated with how his son was dealing and responding with, you know, his wife, his son's mother. And I listened to him, and I said to him, I said, I have a daughter. I don't have a son. But I will share this. One of the rules in my house with my father is he would always, you know, he made it quite clear, and that is you will never disrespect my wife. And I remember, you know, once or twice saying to him, well, she's my mother. And after I picked myself up off the floor, he explained it once again. You will not disrespect my wife. And the guy looked at me and he said, I was raised by a single mother. I had never heard anything like that in my life. You know, and he was saying, he was like, I really wish I had someone that I could talk to about that sort of stuff. You know? Many of you know Eric Reed. He talked to me about, you know, one of the first conversations he got when he started on staff here was people, you know, a couple guys calling, looking for a mentor. You know? So just understand, you know, how a mentor can help rewrite the history. You know, mentors, you know, again, quiet heroes, and they can transform. You will see statistics that show how you can impact a man from, you know, just by working together, and how you mentor a couple guys and they go out and they mentor a couple guys, and then their guys go out and mentor a couple guys. And before you know it, you have influenced more men than you even realized. That's what happens. Why mentor? Matthew 4:19 says, "Follow me," he told them, "and I will make you fisher, make you fish for people." There's biblical support behind this. Paul, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. For you can have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you can't have many fathers. Proverbs, I think it's 17, Proverbs 27:17. Many of you have probably heard it. Iron sharpens iron. We work together, you know. What happens there? What is the image there? The image is what? Getting the file out and sharpening that axe. Was a mentor. We're helping sharpening that man that we're walking alongside. Why mentor? For I become your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. This is why I have sent Timothy to you. Why do we do it? This is one of the reasons why. This is what we're striving for. Okay? 1 Corinthians, again, imitate me as I also in Christ. Matthew, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son. Make disciples. This is what God's telling us to do. How will we make a disciple if we don't share our knowledge? How can we do that? Now it's convenient sometimes for us not to do that. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it interferes with things that we're trying to do. But there's other aspects, okay? Why mentor? Teaching to observe everything I have commanded you. Remember, I am with you always. See, one of the things, again, a lot of times in mentoring, it's not you doing. It's not you telling. You know? Sometimes, you know, one of the guys that I spend time with is, you know, he'll call up. And he'll say, you know, what are you guys up to? I'm working out in the garage. Come on over. You want to see what I'm doing? Sometimes it's just simply something is like that. Okay? And that could be part of it. What you hear from me in the presence of many witnesses committed to faithful men will be able to teach others also. Again, that follows that strive. Let's teach. Let's help grow. Okay? Now, what we want to also talk about is, you know, what is that relationship? Goes back to what I was talking about earlier. It's not about a classroom. It's not about classroom instruction. It's about, you know, small group or one-on-one. Different places have different concepts and different philosophies of how they, you know, some look at mentoring as three or four guys, you know, one man will work with three or four guys. Here at Houston's First, we believe in one-on-one. That's our concept, one-on-one. And let me say something too. Age doesn't matter either, you know, because, you know, you can always help bring someone all along. And the other thing is, age doesn't matter to the point of what benefits too is, it's that experience. I had mentioned Eric Reed. Well, you know, I mean, I've come from a totally different background than being involved in a church and church activities in a leadership position. Eric chronologically is younger than I am. But man, when it comes to navigating here, I look at him. He's my mentor. So it's not a necessarily always a chronological thing either. So that's important to understand. A mentor is less about knowledge and more about character and practice. It's always interesting how a lot of times it's not what we're talking about, it's how we care ourselves, how we act, how they see us. You know? Because you know what? This isn't about patting ourselves on the back, or this isn't about building ourselves up. Because you know what? Guys can see through that real quick, real easy. And, you know, they'll call you out on it. You know? So it's less about that knowledge and more about that. It's less about one way. This is not, you know, back to the classroom. Teacher, pupil. Teacher, lecturer. Okay? It's about two-way conversation. Extremely important. That two-way interaction. You know, earlier when we talked about it, listening is such an important part of mentoring. It really is. It's less about completing a course and more about helping another live a godly life. We have different tools, different resources that we help with. But, you know, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, there are some, see, one of the things, too, is important to figure out what's the best way for the two of you to work together. Many cases, you might start with some sort of structure. Maybe going through, say, the Christian businessmen's, you know, Paul and Timothy. It might help by walking you through that. So that's somewhat structured. But it's not about, okay, it's Tuesday, we have to finish this. It's Tuesday, you know, let's see where this takes us. See where it leads us.
Mentoring is less about teaching and more about training people how to study the Bible.
You know, again, it's not teaching the Bible. But it's like, hey guys, let's study the Bible together so he can learn how to study and he can interpret. And then what happens? He's studying the Bible and you're studying the Bible. Guess what? You're learning just as much as he is. You're getting just as much out of it as he is. I don't know how many guys have come back and said to me, you know, I really feel like I'm cheating in this whole thing because I feel like I'm getting more out of it than he is. You know? Think about that old adage about how, you know, to really teach something, you have to learn it. But also think about as the two of you get into discussions and learning. He's coming from one perspective. You're coming from another perspective. Amazing what we can learn. Mentor is less about telling and more about showing. It's not show and tell time, you know? I mean, it's not, you know, you do this, this, and this. It's not about preaching, you know? It's what we see, okay? It's less about transferring information and more about encouraging transformation. We hear that frequently. Transformation. We want to uplift. We want to help that person grow in Christ. It's less about scheduling a program and more about a lifestyle to live. That's one of the things that's really great about, you know, because what are we showing? We're demonstrating a lifestyle in Christ. What our goal is. Now, let's talk a little bit about why people don't mentor. Number one, there's just some people who don't want to do it. Simple as that. You know? You know, they don't care about it. But I challenge you with this. If you don't care about helping your brother, what kind of Christian life are you demonstrating? What are you showing? I mean, are you really demonstrating all the things that we just talked about that's biblically sound? You know? Another thing that's really prevalent, feel inadequate or lacking the skills. It's one of the most common reasons. I will say this. Okay? There are many cases for the younger guys here. There are many cases. Us older guys are afraid of you. You guys in some ways scare us. Because, you know, we sit back and we look at how we were at your age. Or we sit back and think, you know, these guys are young. They got lots of energy. They're smart. You know, especially technology. You know. They don't want to hear what this old guy has to say. So we back away. But guys, I'm here to tell you also, I've had a number of these same younger guys look at me and say, we want to hear what you have to say. Because you have experiences that we don't have. You've walked some steps. You've walked some miles that we haven't walked yet. And yes, you've made some mistakes that we haven't made and we don't want to make. So that's what happens. Okay? But yeah, it can be uncomfortable. But I will take you back to my statement that I made earlier, though. Think about, you know, just like you're demonstrating it, these guys can show us things. We can learn from them. And that's why it's a give and take. That's why we're doing this. We also learn. Another reason. No one ever asked me. You know, I'm always amazed when, you know, as many times as, you know, we've visited LBS classes and different classes here, and how many men still come up to us and say, we never knew you had a mentoring program. We never knew you had a mentoring ministry here. So, what does that say? I look at it a couple different ways. One, I look in the mirror and I ask myself what we need to do better to get the information out to the men. Because there's obviously something we need to do better. But it's something where we need your help. Because what we need is for the men in here. You know? You guys have not heard a little bit about it. And so what I need is for you to be willing to say to a man, hey, you know, why don't we get involved in generation and generation? Everyone here is a leader in their LBS class. You know, say, hey, why don't we do it as a class? Let's get the men as a class together and do it. And see, to me, what would be great is to take, say, an adult one class and match that class with a summit class. And hey, we've got something going now. And maybe even take that summit class and match it with one of the younger classes. Now we've got some multiple generations being addressed. That to me would be way cool. Many cases too, why aren't we? Well, I don't know how. I don't know what to do. I don't try to put on anyone on the spot, but you know, because hey, you know, there are some times when I don't know what to do. I'm not going to stick my neck out. You know, that's uncomfortable. If I don't know what to do, why do I stick my neck out? One of the things that we do is we have an orientation. And as part of that orientation, we go through different aspects and different things that we have found, we see. Okay? We go through different concepts. We talk about what does it take to be a mentor, but we also talk about what is the role of a mentee. Everyone knows going in what we want them to do. What to do. We have various different resources that we have access to. So we do that also. Okay? So you've got resources. My job is to help you. If you need something, give me a call. If you need something, give Eric a call. Depends upon what it is, Emily might be able to help. But we in men's ministry are here to help. So we're going to help walk. So the point I'm trying to get across is it's not you making this walk in this journey by yourself. We're going to walk with you. Okay? So how do we do some of these things? Well, like I said, we have an orientation session. We usually do 4 face-to-face orientation sessions. We finished recording, for the most part, a video that we're trying to set up as an interactive video. It is probably a few months away because we have some more editing to do and some more trial and error in setting it up. So I'd say, you know, sometime mid-2017, that would be an option also. But in the handout, the brochure, it has the current dates of the orientation now that you can look for. Okay. So let me ask a question now. We talked a little bit about this. Has your perspective in just this brief time we've spent together, has it changed in regards to mentoring?
Yes, sir.
For me?
Yes, sir.
It has how? If you don't mind sharing.
Yes, sir. Prior to coming here, there were two things that contrasted my original thought of a mentor, mentee, that I can recall at this moment. And you brought up that the younger can sometimes mentor the older. That mm-hmm. thought never really crossed my mind. And the second, the mutual benefit of the mentor and mentee, where even though the mentor doesn't know, well, this is kind of, I guess, 2.5.
Okay.
So even though the mentor may not know everything, and the mentor can learn some things from the mentee, and they, like you said, iron can sharpen iron, but the mentee can also learn from the mentor's mistakes. You know, there was a saying that, you know, everybody doesn't have to touch the iron while it's hot to learn that that's a bad thing.
Right.
You can learn from those who have already walked the path, you know, what not to do.
Right.
So, and then later on, we could also advise others, you know, hey, I learned this from my mentor. It was a bad experience. Don't do it. So, like you said, it spreads. It continues.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. I'm glad. Anyone else?
I know I was late, but really for me, like, the whole showing versus telling, I thought it was, you know, just telling them things that you should do and things that you can do rather than showing it, and just kind of a personal story that I get to share, because I coach soccer, and I just came from the game, so I was late, but just really getting to, like, demonstrate the love that you have for someone helps them want to be different and want them to continue to be in that mentor-mentee relationship. And so, like, really showing that mutual thing, like you were saying, is really strong for a mentor-mentee relationship, and that's kind of what I took away.
Yeah. Anyone else? See, one of the things that we also will, one of the things that's really important to understand is, think about this. Think about your own life. And think about how at times where you just wanted someone to just listen to you. They didn't have to know all of the answers. But man, it really helps to know that when you need it, you've got someone who has your back and someone that will listen to you. You know? That's part of it too. So, you know, what about your expectations? They changed? What do you expect from it? So we're all pretty much, hey, I walked in, knew it, feel good about it. You know, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think my expectation has changed a bit. And I see something that God kind of moves along. You know, it's not something that there's a set agenda. And so it, mentoring happens, you know. God moves it. But I think I saw from here that it's not paste thing. And, you know, it all depends on the needs of your mentee and the needs of the mentor.
Right.
And coming together.
Yeah.
And each one is going to be different. You know, each one of us is here. Different timing, different resources, different way of coaching, I would say, even going through the Bible. I'm actually doing mentoring right now, an eighth grader and a 51-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're both two different approaches. And the 51-year-old man wanted to know, well, how do I read the Bible? Whoa. So we approached it from the standpoint of God's love. God loved, showed his love through the Old Testament, bringing it out there. Christ came to fulfill the law, showed his love on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I approached it that way, just kind of staggered the Old and New Testament, just a little, just chapters at a time.
Yeah.
And, so, because going into that, I thought I had to be structured. I mean, that's me. I had to be very structured and know way in advance, study, plan, and that's just not the case.
But, for some people's personality, that's the best way. So part of it is, one, spend the first, say, few meetings just understanding each other's personality. Learning styles. Because there's some people who are looking for, who want that type of structure. I will never forget, one time looking at an email from a guy Eric was mentoring. And he sent his email and it's like, meeting one, I want to be prepared to study this. Meeting two, he laid out like 6 months worth of what he wanted to do each time they got together. And this was in detail. Okay? That was his personality. Okay? The benefit, able to come in prepared, knowing. But even a lot of times with that, you start down a path, but you veer at times. God takes you in different directions, but he was more structured. Where, a guy from here that I'm working with, we met last week, and he said, this year what I want to focus on is, I don't want to look at the Bible before Jesus was on earth or after. I only want to focus on while he was walking on earth. Can we do that? I'm like, that could be interesting, So that's what we're going to do, But this is what he was after. See, that's one of the things that's one of the things that I didn't bring up, which is really important to share. From a mentor's perspective, it's not your role to tell the mentee what to do, what they should be doing. They need to be prepared to say to you, this is where I am. This is what I need. This is the information. This is what I need to grow. Now, you and your experience might say, okay, you've got point one, two, and three down. Great. Maybe you need to add a fourth point, or maybe you instead of doing point two this way, you might want to think about doing it this way. But he's got to come to you and let you know it's not you telling him, okay, you need to study this, and this. You don't know his walk. You don't know what he really needs as much. He should be able to know that and identify that. So you'll find many different personalities, many different ways. There is no one way of approaching it. There really isn't. Any questions from you guys about this?
Kind of techniques they talked about in there, you know, are there during the quarterly sessions, is that where they talk about the techniques and stuff?
Okay, what we did is during the orientation. Now, you only have to go to orientation once, okay? You don't have to take it quarterly. We just offer it quarterly.
Each one of those is just an orientation?
Correct. Okay. We'll talk about different things. Like, for example, we'll talk about good communication skills. We'll talk, you know, which can include listening, which can include, we'll even, talk about maybe conflict resolution, different skills, some of those different things.
Where do you get introduced into a pool of mentors or people or mentees, or is there a place for that?
Here's what happens. Here's the structure. If you decide that you're ready, you can get an application. We have them online at g2ghouston.org, or for some, if you're old school, upstairs in the Gross Suite in room 257, Emily Brown, which is Eric's admin, she has hard copies on her desk too. Fill one out, submit it. Once you do that, we get it into the system. We do need to do a background check, okay? But if any of you are involved in any other activity in the church that you've gone through one, within the last year, you don't have to go through another one. But we do the background check. Then you go through the orientation. And then once you've gone through the orientation, there's a committee that meets. And we generally meet probably a week or two following an orientation. So the committee gets together, goes through all the applications, prays on it, identifies it, and then looks at what we think are good matches. Matches are based on multiple things, like one, needs. If you're strong in the Bible and someone wants to meet to talk about the Bible, that could be a good match. There's 16 different areas where they check off. It could be they want to talk to someone about maintaining a Christian walk at work. That couldn't be one of their main issues. They might want to talk about marriage or raising kids. So those are key points. We also look at time. If you're only available to meet once a month, then we try to match you with someone else who's available once a month. If you're available four times a month, we try to match you with someone who's looking for four times a month. So those are some of the parameters in matching. So, anyone interested? Tell you what, since you were the first one to answer too, I have to give away a prize. So he just won the prize. So, when you're done, she has the information. Any other questions that I can answer for you?
Yeah, so maybe I missed this at the beginning, but is there someone in your life that you can point to saying, this is someone really formative to me and to my desire to mentee, train mentors, train leaders, and sharing at the beginning that I missed about that?
Was someone in my life? Mm-hmm. I guess I would say for me personally, a couple things happened. One, my dad. Our house was the kind of house where, we had, a cousin a couple times come stay with us because they were having problems, so they'd send them to my dad, various different, even an uncle was having problems at one point. They send him, he comes and lives with us, with my dad, So that sort of influenced me, seeing that. And like I said, as I talked to different people, and especially as I got in conversations with a lot of single men, I started realizing how fortunate and how blessed I was that, I had a father that raised me and showed me things. It's just like, I'll be honest, the first guy I started mentoring, I hadn't planned on mentoring anyone. He just started showing up around me, asking questions. How do you do this? How do you do that? And then, one day he had a problem with his car. And it was, something relatively simple that my dad taught me that he had no idea about. And I'm like, bring it over to our house, and we go and we start doing stuff. And then all of a sudden, I look up and I'm like, you're around a lot. But then, and when it really hit me was one day he was talking to me about how he wanted, the kind of woman he wanted in his life. And I said to him, well, you're dating so-and-so, and I know her well, so what's wrong with her? And he said, well, she doesn't like mama. He calls my wife mama. And he said, she doesn't like mama. And I said, well, being that neither I or Lisa is going to marry you, it really doesn't matter. You pick the person you want in your life, And he goes, no. He says, because I want the woman in my life to feel comfortable coming here because I want them to see how you two interact. Because I didn't have that in my life. I was raised by a single mother and I didn't see that interaction. And he said, I want that. And I was like, whoa. That's when it really hit me that unknowingly, here we are leaving an impression on this young man. And that's when it started hitting me. So it wasn't something that I really planned on getting involved in. It just sort of happened. But then through those conversations, it's like, and then from talking to people like Eric and talking to different people, I've become more involved and understanding that there is a need. So, yeah. And I didn't have any kind of training or any kind of help. I just sort of started getting some books and doing this and doing that. And then after a while, now I'm in school studying pastoral counseling, with the idea of getting some more tools so I can work better with the mentors. So that's what happened. So, that's the problem. The other question I can answer for anyone.
Any other resources that are available?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of different resources. actually, if you go to g2ghouston.org, you'll see a whole list of resources from various different, you know, there we have it broken down in subjects, and we'll have a few at the top that we recommend, you know, in general. So yeah, that, and if you are looking for something specific or something additional, my information's on the brochure. Drop me a note. I'll see what I can find for you. The other questions that I can answer? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You mentioned that you would like to see an adult class pair up with a summit class and a summit class pair up with maybe one of the younger classes. I was wondering, what obstacles are you facing when attempting to get that together?
I have no idea. That's just something that while we were talking, I was like, that would be really cool if we did something like that, you know? We haven't tried that, so I don't know. It was one of these things where, yeah, that would be really neat to sort of set something like that up.
Yeah, because that's essentially what our Life Bible Study class and other ones did last Sunday after church. We met in one of the rooms, and women in both of the classes had organized a luncheon and stuff like that, and so that worked out quite well.
Yeah, you know, I've seen it happen on one-off basis.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, when this went through my brain just a few minutes ago, it was more on some sort of commitment level, you know, but it's just something that just, you know, came to my brain.
Yeah.
That's all. Gentlemen, thank you for coming. Let's take a moment and pray us out of here. Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you. Thank you for these men who, Father, who are giving up their time, not only to be in this room and to learn about mentoring and discipling, but just being here for Midnight Madness period. Father, we, you know, probably everyone in this room had something else to do. And even if it's just rest, for we all work hard. And Father, I just want to thank you and thank them for being willing to come here and learn and grow and strive. Father, I want to thank this church for being able to, you know, have the thought process and the forethought and the ability to organize something like this, Father, where people, you know, people can come and learn and grow. Father, this is what it takes to grow leaders in this city, in our neighborhoods, and in our country. Father, I want to thank you for bringing these men out today. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, brother. Jim, are they going to have drawings with this? Is that how they're
going to
get their prize?
I don't know. I thought something was in that. There was nothing in. No? Maybe they're sending it to them now.
I really thought you had it. Oh, well, we'll find out.
You guys
go in the
room. Yeah, we'll find out.
Right.
Thank you,
brother.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm like really feel bad that I've been missing. So on Thursday, you know.
Oh, hey, it is good. We're studying a book on John, written by John Piper.
Yeah, I have the book.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I've just got so much work on the school.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to bed. You got it going on, that's for sure.
I'm having a hard time keeping up.
I'm right now watching TV and not happening.
I'm going to stay with it.
You playing that Emerald?
Okay. I started by chapter.
I've got more discussion.
Saturday, Thursday, Tuesday, Friday.
I've got.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I've finished coursework this spring and internship this summer, and then I'm done. So by the fall, I'm back at it. While we're talking.
Is this off?
No, I didn't stop it.
Did it pick up with you?